Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, the students are back on campus. Preseason camp wrapping up for the football team. Soccer season officially underway. But you know what? Football and soccer aren't the only sports cranking up right now. We're going to talk a little A-State volleyball, and joining us in studio, senior libero from Flower Mound, Texas. Welcome in, Sarah Martinez.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
This is kind of different because we've got a big audience in here today.
We do.
We've got Caleb Garner from Media Relations. I know he does a great job. And I don't know if we've ever had a player interview where they were escorted to the interview by the head coach, but Coach Gerwig's here too. So is there any pressure knowing he's listening to everything you say right now?
No pressure. I think he'll back me up on everything I have to say.
I was thinking the same thing, though. I believe this is a first.
It is.
Yeah. The sports info guys have been here from time to time. But yeah, I don't think anybody's had to do it with their coach watching.
Caleb may lead everybody as far as the sports info guys being in on interviews. So props to him. But we're here to talk about you, Sarah. So what's it like going into your senior year? How do you feel right now, knowing this is the final season here at Arkansas State?
I honestly, it's kind of like bittersweet because I still feel like I'm a freshman, but then at the same time, I know I'm not. Like, I'm never going to get this experience back. So I really want to make the most out of it. And I want to be able to like lead the team in a positive direction. So after I leave and like my career's done, I hope they can take some stuff that I had and use it for the following seasons without me.
I wonder, what do you mean you feel like a freshman? How so?
It just feels like time flies, but at the same time, it doesn't. Like, I still feel like I'm 17 years old just playing volleyball, and it doesn't feel like I've gotten my degree. It just feels like I'm, like, playing volleyball.
No, spoiler, that only gets worse. That part.
Great.
Yeah, he's right about that part. Okay, so let's get some of the basics here. How'd you get into volleyball to begin with?
So I actually had no idea what volleyball was until I was in fourth grade. And a lot of my friends were talking about volleyball tryouts like after school. And I was telling my mom about it. And she was like, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, I don't really know. Like, I'd rather run track. So I actually was a track runner. And then I ended up going to volleyball tryouts because all my friends went. So I was like, why would I not go? So I went to tryouts and then made the team. And then after that, I just started playing all the time. I fell in love with the game and I couldn't stop playing. I was always at home, like setting the ball on my bed and like hitting the ball against the wall. And my parents would come outside and hit the ball at me and my sister would be out there playing. So I just fell in love with it. I was like 8.
And ever since, that's been your sport.
It's been my sport.
Did you play any other sports throughout school?
No, I ran track until I was in sixth grade. And then that's when I told my mom, I was like, I just want to play volleyball. Like, I don't care about track. And I just played volleyball till this day. That's all I did.
That's the second week in a row, right? We've talked to one of our athletes that went the route of locking in on their sport. What made you do that at a young age? Just like, this is the one I'm putting all the focus on.
I think ever since I was young, I set goals for myself. So whenever I was like, I think when I was in eighth grade, I told myself that I was going to make varsity as a freshman. And that's when it all started. I was like, I'm going to make varsity. And so going into my freshman year, ninth grade, I made varsity as a freshman. And then after that, I was in 10th grade. So I actually ended up moving to Flower Mound, Texas, which is where I'm from, or where I claim I'm from. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to make varsity here. And the level of volleyball is so much different because when I started playing in ninth grade, I was in Mississippi and I moved to Texas and the level was so much different. The plays were faster. The girls were bigger and stronger and they were hitting so much harder. I was like, oh my gosh, wait, they're really good. But I told myself, I'm going to make varsity. I make varsity. And then ever since then, I think I was like, okay, I'm going D1. Like I have to go D1. I'm playing volleyball in college, but I don't want to go JUCO. I don't want to go D3. Like I'm going to earn my way to playing like top level volleyball. And so I think ever since I was little, I was just setting goals for myself and they kept happening. And that's where I am right now.
Well, the Stoltz, the fact that she didn't go to Flower Mound until, what did you say, 10th grade? Mm-hmm. So it takes out the next thing. I was getting ready to, I was going to talk about Tom Castellaw and the great tradition of Flower Mound.
We mentioned Tom Castellaw actually before you walked in today. We were talking about him, a Flower Mound great.
So, yeah, Flower Mound's been good to A-State.
Well, that's true. I kind of want to go back here. You're not the only athlete in the family. You were talking about this before we started recording. Mm-hmm. Your dad, a college athlete.
Yes, my dad played college football at Penn State, so I've always looked up to him.
They've got a pretty good football team there, usually.
They usually do, yes. But, yeah, I've always looked up to him when I was little just because he knew a lot about college sports and what it was like to work hard and balance school and sports and just be good at time management. That was something that I looked for him to like help me with because I struggled with it when I got to Houston.
Where did he grow up?
So he actually grew up in Flower Mound. Huh. I've moved a lot when I was little just because of his job, but then ultimately we ended up back in Flower Mound and that's where I went to high school and yeah.
It's a question for him, but maybe you've heard this story before. I mean, how does Penn State go get a kid out of Flower Mound when there was a, you know, there's a bunch of schools between Flower Mound and Penn State? So how was that his spot?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I've never asked him.
Well, that's one thing to ask him.
Yeah, maybe I should. Gives y'all something to talk about.
So you played at Flower Mound High School and had a great high school career. First team All-State. You kind of alluded to it earlier. You knew at some point you wanted to play in college. Did that come kind of early on, that desire to play on the collegiate level?
It did come early, but my recruiting process in high school was honestly like a mess because of COVID, and I didn't get recruited until I was a senior in high school. I didn't make my commitment until I think it was September of my senior year, so I committed late. It was just a mess, my whole recruiting process. So at the time, it was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I really wanted to.
So you go to Houston. Mm-hmm. And you play for this guy we know named David Rear, who was a really good head coach here. He happened to have this assistant coach on his staff that we like a lot, too. His name is Brian Gerwig. So what was it like spending those 2 years in Houston and learning under both of those guys?
It was a really great experience. I learned a lot from Dave and Brian. Just, I think one of the most important things that I learned from both of them is being able to just stay confident, because when you're a freshman, you come in and there's girls that are better than you that have been doing this for a while, way longer than I have. And one of the things that I had to focus on was being confident, especially in my service passing. That was something that I had to learn to be good at. And I spent hours and hours doing that like every day. But I had a really good experience at Houston with just the coaching staff. They really know what they're talking about. And Dave's built a great program at Houston. So
Coach Gerwig gets the head job here at Arkansas State before the 2022 season. You had spent two seasons at Houston. What made you want to follow him and come here to A-State?
So it's actually a funny story. I was already in the portal in January. I had already made my decision to leave Houston. And at the time, I had no idea that Brian was looking for a new job or anything until I think it was late February. He reached out and was like, hey, like, let's have a phone call. And I was like, okay. And then he tells me like that he's possibly getting this new job at Arkansas State, the head coaching job. And I was like, okay, so when are we going? Like, I was already like, okay, I'm coming. Like, tell me when and where to be there. And I'm in. So I actually was already in the portal. And then Brian reached out to me. He ended up getting the job. I came on a visit. And I guess you could say I was already committed to wherever Brian was going before he even got the head coaching job.
Wow.
Here. So that's how much trust I had in him. I was like, okay, we're going.
That's the why. I mean, here's your chance to really pile on considering he's sitting here, but why was that the case? You're in the portal. You could have waited out and listened to everybody. So
I think that I knew the type of program that he wanted to build, which was going to be a winning program. And I wanted to be a part of something that was going to be built up. I didn't want to go into a program that was already like established, I guess you could say. I wanted to go into something and build my own culture with the team and build our own like just group of people who want to work hard. And I knew that's something that he was wanting to do. And I already knew the system that he wanted to run defensively. So I felt like I could do a good job stepping in and leading the defense for him.
All right, I'm Weskis. Two ways, then we'll come back with the counter. So first, tell me the ways whether that's on the floor, off the floor, whatever, however you want to answer it, tell me the ways that coaches Rear and Gerwig are alike.
Alike? I think on the court, they run the same defensive system, and that's something that they both have in common. I think off the court, I don't know if they have a lot of stuff in common off the court. I really don't know if they do. I think Dave is very...
Where are you going with this?
I think they're just different. Completely different.
Because the flip side is going to be telling the biggest ways they're different.
I think that in a match, Dave is very, like... He's very stern in the way that he talks, and he's very, like, get it done. But Brian's more so of, like, okay, like, this is what we need to do. He walks the team through stuff in timeouts. And Dave was just very much like, let's go. Like, get it done. But then Brian, like, takes his time to explain stuff, if that makes sense.
Kind of going back... I know we've had this conversation before, but
yep.
I always have to remember they don't call him coach with this volleyball team. I mean, you're hearing Dave and Brian, and that's just everyday talk, right?
It is. Yeah, okay. We don't refer to any of our coaches by coach. Yeah, it sounds weird.
We have talked about it. It's a volleyball thing.
It is a volleyball thing.
I mean, there's not another... Really, another one like it for whatever reason, and it's unique, I guess, to the culture of that sport because this only kind of comes up when we're talking to volleyball players.
I mean, we do have nicknames for him, but I'll keep those to myself for right now.
No. You open that door.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So I actually came up with this one, like, I think 2 days ago, and he was a little feisty in practice, and... I started calling him GG. It stands for Grumpy Gerwig.
All right. And he's nodding his head. He agrees.
Yes. So that's a good one. I think people have been using that one a lot more than he knows. But that one's good.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Visiting with A-State senior volleyball player Sarah Martinez here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. When you came to A-State, you got the COVID year back, and that means you had 3 years of eligibility here. And I'm sure Brian was honest with you from the start, saying, hey, this is going to be a young team out of the gate. There's probably going to be some growing pains in the first year. 9 wins in year one. You make the jump to 16 wins in year two. What kind of a jump are we going to see this year?
I think we have the talent to be at the top of conference this year. Brian did a great job recruiting in the portal and brought in some big arms, big hitters, and we have a really scrappy defense behind us and good platform service receive. So I think we can really make a deep run in the conference tournament. And I think that the connection, like, with the team this year, even with the transfers coming in and the freshmen, there's good connections that we have already established, and the transfers fit right in with everyone else. So I think that the team did a really good job welcoming in the new people and setting the standard for them. And yeah, the team culture looks great this year. So I think that can really take us far in conference tournament.
Last week, we had a guy named Jack Bullard in here. Do you know Jack? He's our long snapper on the football team.
I have heard of Jack, yes.
He has a unique position.
He said, do you know Jack?
And I didn't even realize it until you just said that. But you're right. I think Sarah knows Jack about what we're about to talk about. Yeah.
She doesn't know Jack.
So we had the conversation with Jack Bullard because he plays a position that not a lot of people just know a ton about, which is being a long snapper and everything that goes into that. And we spent some time going through some long snapping 101. Well, you play a unique position too.
I do.
You're the libero.
Yes.
And I think people that have paid any attention to volleyball have heard the term, but maybe the casual fan doesn't know everything that goes into it. So let's do a little libero 101.
Okay.
Here. Tell us exactly, by your definition, what you do on the court.
So a libero is somebody who wears the different colored jersey on the volleyball team. That is how you know they're the libero. What it basically signifies is I can go in for anyone in the back row at any moment, and it doesn't count towards a sub. So you have 12 subs, I think, in volleyball. Oh, 15. We have 15 subs. I didn't know that. We have 15 subs. And if I go in and out, it doesn't count towards one of those. And I'm only in the back row. And my specialty is just playing defense and passing serve receive, which is, no, I don't get to hit the ball. I wish I did. But I just use a lot of platform defense.
You cut straight to the chase, because had you not, it would have been the stuff I would ask you about. Because from a fan standpoint, the two things you're going to notice, you're in the different jersey. And then again, like, as a fan who might not know the game, watching is just like you can come and go as you please.
Right. Yeah.
Has that always been your specialty position? Is this something you kind of evolved into?
I've actually always played libero. I think there was one club season. I was in eighth grade and I played setter for my 13s team. I think it was 13s. And then I actually moved up and played 18s as a libero. So I set for a little bit and I hated it. And then I just got moved back to libero.
So beyond just saying, hey, the ball doesn't touch the floor on my watch, what else should you tell people the libero does?
I think a libero is a good vocal leader on the court. We have to have a lot of command in the defense and just making sure people know where to go, what to do. We get to set up like our serve receive patterns to make sure like we're disciplined in getting a three pass. These terms probably don't make any sense to you at all, but I would say vocal leader is something that liberos need to do.
And you got to like playing defense. I mean, that's obviously what the position centers around. You're not going to be up there at the net, but you're making a big impact in that position. And it seems like it's something you embrace.
Yes. I love playing libero. It's so fun just being able to like fly all around the court and make all these plays. I do wish I could hit sometimes. I'm very good at tooling the block. You don't know what that means, but I
tell
wish
us,
I could hit.
What's it mean?
So tooling the block is when you go up and you have blockers in front of you and it bounces off their hands and out of bounds and it counts towards a kill. I'm good at it.
You're good at hitting it off the block?
I am, because I can't. I am 5'4", so I can't go up and jump and hit it straight down like my teammates can. So the only thing I can do is use the hands in front of me.
All right, we were talking Olympics when you walked in. Brian said you guys watch some of the Olympics. Is that something you got into?
I like watching them. I think like it was really hard to watch them this year just because we've been so busy with our schedule, and the time change was something where I didn't want to get up at 7 in the morning and watch the Olympics. But I did watch them, and I actually just had a film assignment from our assistant coach, Jason, and he had us watch the Olympic team pass, and we got to tag it on film and watch their form and watch how simple their movements are. We watch a lot of film, so that's something that I did. I studied their footwork and their eyes and their defense and their movements, and it helps a lot.
So I saw the next thing, and I'm not sure where he was going to go about beach volleyball, but it's worth bringing up because it's actually now folks might know it's a Sunbelt Conference sport. Like there's a Sunbelt Championship in beach volleyball. What are your thoughts there? I mean, a lot of places, there are sometimes places have some overlap between their volleyball team and their beach volleyball team. And
I love beach volleyball.
Have you played a lot?
I have. Whenever I go back home in the summer, I go and play beach volleyball at the courts back home with my friends. And I like to compete. I like to play beach because I actually get to hit. And that's something that I really want to do. But I like beach volleyball as well because it helps me when I get back to indoor with reading the defense, reading the plays, reading the hitter, watching their wrists and their arm and their approach. So it definitely helps me translate back into the indoor game.
Say there's an opportunity after you leave here, I mean, to play beach volleyball. You feel like there's not as big of a difference where you could easily transition into that?
I feel like I know the basics to where I could transition into it. And if I spent some of December learning, like if I went into a program next year, I feel like I could be able to adapt to the program easily with their like rules and stuff. But I don't know. It is a completely different sport. I mean, they play on sand. I really can't jump that high even on the wood. So I don't know how I would jump in the sand. But it's definitely something I have considered because I think it would be fun to play a different sport, especially since my eligibility is almost out. But I don't know.
I just think the popularity of it has risen so much and it's become a big deal. And I brought up the Olympics. We watched a lot of the volleyball in the Olympics, but we also watched a lot of the beach volleyball. And it seems like it's more of a concert type atmosphere when you're watching beach volleyball. And how cool was that in Paris? That court front of the Eiffel Tower.
It was so beautiful. I was like, that's insane. Like, it was so pretty and it was so cool. Like, every commercial, they would show the Eiffel Tower in the back with like the sand court. It was so pretty. That's so cool.
We got a lot to be excited about right now. Tell us about this team as a whole. I mean, what's the personality of this team?
I think the personality of the team is very goofy. Everybody's really funny in their own ways, but we know when to be serious and locked in, and we know when we can be a little bit funny. So I think that definitely helps with our connection. Like yesterday, I got hit in the face pretty hard by my teammate, Day. She's actually our middle blocker transfer from Little Rock. I went back and I watched the film, and everybody was laughing. Everybody was laughing. And that's not something, you know, like I could have gotten a concussion. I didn't, but I could have. But everybody around me was laughing. So it's just like, it's very lighthearted group. People can laugh, we can have fun, but also we know how to like get our work done.
You had to quit laughing when old Gigi shows up.
If Gigi's in Gigi mode, grumpy, you know, that's when we got to shut down. But if Gigi's in a good mood, then we're all good.
Pretty cool. You get to start the season at home. You get the A-State Invitational August 30th and 31st. Open up with SEMO on that Friday, the 30th at 1 o'clock, and then Ole Miss.
We got Ole Miss
that night coming to you. And what a great first day to the season. Then the following afternoon, while everybody's getting ready for the football game at 6, they can come watch you guys at 2 o'clock take on St. Louis.
It's going to be a great weekend. I'm happy it lined up the way that it did because football will have their fans in town and hopefully they can make it down to the arena and come watch us. I mean, opening weekend's a big deal, especially when you have an opponent that you're facing that's in the SEC. That's kind of cool. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it should be a fun weekend. Of course, as you listen to this, that's now next weekend.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Have you graduated yet?
I did. I graduated in May with an undergrad in psychology, and I had a minor in sociology. Now, for my COVID year, I'm pursuing a master's in sociology.
Oh, wow. Okay, so what's the end game? What do you want to do?
I think end game might be sports psychology. Become a sports psychologist, hopefully for a Division I program. And I hope I can get there somehow. We're working on it.
Well,
take her around with me on the golf course.
Yeah, there's a case study for
you. Yeah, it would be good for you.
I actually love to golf.
Really?
I do. I golf when I'm at home.
You play with your folks or?
Sometimes I'll go with my dad, but actually one of my best friends from home, we'll just get our clubs and we'll just go to the golf course. We'll just go.
How you hit it?
I can drive it pretty well, but I'm not very good at putting.
Common tale.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Sarah, you're really cool. We've enjoyed hanging out with you.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming in. Thanks to Brian and Caleb joining us as well. You got through it.
I did.
You did great.
I did. It was a good day.
Good luck this season, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
That's Sarah Martinez joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We'll wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank. And by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Football team scrimmaging this past Saturday. That means preseason camp is over. Less than 2 weeks away from the big matchup to open up the season. Saturday the 31st against UCA.
It's funny. I catch myself kind of bouncing back and forth. Because there really is a lot of things in terms of the prep work where, to be honest with you, we're in like really good shape. A lot of stuff is ready. Like, it almost feels like, so in some ways, I feel like every once in a while I can catch myself thinking, we're ahead of schedule, we're doing really good. And then, you know, all of a sudden you hear talk about it next week and you start kind of freaking out again about a million things that still need to get done. But it's coming. Yeah, it'll be fun.
In the past few days, I know you announced the game themes for all six home games this year, too. Some good stuff coming up.
Well, I hope so. You know, last year, with kind of having a lot of promo items, was first time trying that. People seemed to like it, so we'll do a lot of that again. Had some great Learfield partners kind of help make that a reality. And, you know, it's a real baseball move, minor league and major league for that matter. When you open the season at home on opening day, you give everybody a schedule magnet.
I like it.
So we'll do that with St. Bernard's, a game sponsor, coming up next weekend against UCA. And, you know, right on down through there. Everybody really seemed that the Greenway caps last year were very popular. And Greenway had a different cap they wanted to do this year. And this one actually has a logo that was sort of made just for them. Well, not sort of. It was made just for them as the official ag equipment dealer of the Red Wolves. So that's the logo on the front. So it's got a Red Wolf on the front of the cap with Greenway. And those will go well. And, you know, right on down the line, you know, a youth shirt later in the season that's going to be made to look like a
jersey,
our black football jersey. And talk about, you know, the ones that stick it out. And, you know, hopefully we're playing really meaningful football at the end of the year. And those last two games, the Saturdays before and after Thanksgiving, that last game of the year is always Fan Appreciation Day and Senior Day. And, you know, break out a T-shirt. And really, I'd say by then, probably be willing to say kind of the first time for people have a crack, honestly, at getting a T-shirt with the guy we affectionately call Running Howl on.
A lot of people falling in love with Running Howl.
He's a topic of conversation, isn't he?
He certainly is. And, yeah, you've got that down for the Old Dominion game November 30th. So some really cool stuff coming up surrounding these home games. But I don't think there's going to be anything cooler than the product on the field. Really excited about what we've seen in preseason camp and can't wait for that opener on August 31st against UCA. The soccer season is officially underway. The first two home games are in the books. A really nice start to the season last Thursday. Shutting out Little Rock. That's always nice when you beat Little Rock, but to open the season and open the entire athletic season with a win over your in-state rival is really cool. Winning that one 2-0, Emma Riles and Keelan Peacock scoring the goals. Of course, Emma, a guest on this podcast just a couple of weeks ago. Funny how that works. You come on the podcast, you have a big game.
I don't know. I think she was, although I got a big kick out of it. So I have a daughter that's a freshman at Arkansas State. A couple weekends ago, we moved her into her dorm. And we were talking off the air. She's actually living with a couple of volleyball players. But one of the new little things she had for room was her Alexis Dot. Somebody had given her one to put in her dorm room. So she was needing me to help her get that set up. So, by the way, this is not a plug for old Alexa, but this thing was pretty cool because we got her set up and got the app on her phone and all this and that. Since I was the one setting it up, obviously the test drive is I said, "Hey, Alexa, play Second to None, the A-State podcast." And by George, she'll do it. So you can do that if you have one. But what I say that because it was funny, and I bet this isn't the first time Emma's dealt with it. The Alexa voice, it doesn't just start playing. She tells you, Second to None, the A-State podcast, episode 150, whatever last week was, a visit with A-State soccer senior Emma Rialis. But I'm guessing she's probably gotten that somewhere along the way.
I'm sure she has. What was cool, our church, Central Baptist Church, helped out with college move-in when the sorority girls were moving in.
Yeah, I was wanting to talk about that too.
Yeah, last Sunday, and there were a lot of people from our church. Now, one of the people out there helping, Emma Riles. She was carrying boxes.
You were nowhere to be found.
I wasn't where you were.
I had to fend for myself.
Now, University Hall is where I spent most of my time. Now, I did kind of go over some of the students were in Kays Hall. There's 11 floors to Kays Hall.
They need it whole lot worse than those North Park Quad kids did last Sunday.
And you pick up a box, you say, where am I going? And I took, I don't know, five or six trips. I think I got the 7th floor, the 11th floor, the 9th floor, 7th floor again. I think one time I got the 5th floor, but that was the best I got over at Kays Hall. And I got my butt back over to University Hall right after
that. That is where the greater need is. Like, I mean, we're on the 1st floor, so.
That's easier. Yeah. That much easier.
And so, I think the help was distributed where it was needed.
Soccer team continuing their season opening 4-game homestand this Sunday, 1 o'clock against Murray State. And Caleb Garner mentioned this on his way out a while ago. The volleyball team is having a scarlet and black scrimmage coming up this week. In fact, on Saturday at 2 o'clock, you can go and check that out.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're going to be putting out news, obviously, just about every day between now and next weekend, making sure you know everything you need to know. One thing I would tell you here, and I will continue to hammer home, if you're listening to this and by some chance, and honestly, I don't know that there'll be many of you that this applies to, but if by some chance you don't have our app, you need to get our app, go to your Google Play or your App Store and search for Red Bull. Honestly, if you search for Red Wolves or A-State, any number of things will get you there. So if you don't have it, by all means, get it. But even if you do have it, if you haven't done this in the last couple of months, believe it or not, I'm going to tell you to delete it off your phone and then reload it.
Okay.
It's just one of these little glitchy things miles beyond our control. But earlier in the spring or whatever it was, the company we work with put out the next gen of their apps. And so we updated our app to their next gen. And so a lot of people may have just run the update and got it. But what we've happened, and nobody would have known how or why, but once they updated to the next gen of the app, they were not getting their push notifications.
Okay.
So even if you updated it, or if you notice like you're not getting any push notifications from us, take your app off your phone and just turn and put it right back on, and the problem should be solved. But push notifications are a really cool little tool because we try not to go crazy with them, but we'll tell you anytime a game's coming up with one of our teams, you get one about that. Final scores, you get push notifications about that. On a football game day, we'll use it to communicate with you about, hey, don't forget Red Wolf Walk's coming up, this thing, that thing. Game day timeline stuff, we communicate with you through push notifications. And then the big thing where the app is important is just going to continue to get more and more important is, you know, your Ticketmaster account can live in that app. You can handle all your tickets in it. You can send them to people. You can receive transfers. So
that made things a lot easier last year.
And that mobile ticketing obviously is not going anywhere. In fact, it's the mobile side of it's only going to get bigger. This is in all likelihood. In fact, to say this football season is even probably the last time we're printing parking passes. Even I think by basketball, things could be in a position where your parking is totally mobile, where you just walk and show them your pass as you pull into the lot. And it would be the same thing. You could transfer it to people just like you can a ticket. That's actually probably going to be live even in football season if you want to kind of dabble in there. But I think it'd be kind of the way it's done by basketball.
Just delete the old app and download the new one.
If you've noticed you've not seen any push notifications from us, like let's just say you've not gotten one about a soccer match about to start or gotten a score. If you've not seen a notification from the Red Wolves, then you should just go delete the app and put it back on your phone because then you'll set it up.
Yeah.
You can choose where it's all sports. You can handpick the sports you want push notifications concerning, but you need to do that. And the other thing we do from time to time is we've been known to do whether it's a ticket special or different offers, and that only exists as a push notification. There have been times there have been offers just to people who have the app.
Good stuff. Thanks again to Sarah Martinez. Really enjoyed our visit with her. Neat to have Brian Gerwig in. First time ever we've had the head coach in for a player interview.
Yeah.
She withstood the pressure. GG. We'll have to start calling him that.
Well, hopefully that interview didn't make him GG. It didn't seem to. I think she did well.
He was in a good mood. Thanks to Caleb Garner for setting that up. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.